Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Here in Kansas City, we're at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Gathering. And all our reports brought to you by ESN, the U.S.'s most used granular nitrogen application. All right. Hey, for years, Brian Doherty and John Heinberg have been here. They're fixtures from Stuart Peterson. But Stuart Peterson's kind of changed their marketing. So John Heinberg is here to explain all of that. It's not a new company. It's still Stuart Peterson, but you have a new name.
Yeah, we changed our name to Total Farm Marketing now by Stuart Peterson. Just kind of gives you the umbrella approach to the different tools that we offer producers, whether it's through consulting or retail brokerage like myself, or just now we have the ability to work on some cash contracts and things of that nature with producers. So we provide a complete package now. We just thought the Stuart Peterson name, as much as it's been a tradition, it kind of made us sound like an accounting firm.
Yeah.
So now let's get out there and get our message of what we are realistically and what we provide to people. And it's been resonated very well so far.
Yeah,
and I'd never met Stuart. Of course, those are two last names of the founders, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, the founders from back in the late, mid-80s, and actually at this stage, Mr. Stewart is still with the company. Mr. Peterson has moved on from the company. So, but again, like I said, it was a good name change, and with that, we're kind of changing our whole image, and so far been well-received.
Yeah, and I'm sure like Total Farm Marketing, because there are so many services that farmers need and use. You use the term retail brokerage that you specialize in. What is that?
Retail brokerage, basically, unlike a consulting group where you're usually paying a fee, getting access to the board, or they're making recommendations on cash sales or options to look at or things to want monitor in the market, I'm in a little bit more of a one-on-one setting with the producer, you know, get to know the producer's risk tolerances, what they want to do, and it's instead of having this blanket type recommendation, what I do for one guy will be the totally opposite of what I do for the next guy based on what he wants in his operation. So we provide access to the board. We don't have that annual fee that some companies have in that regard, and it gives the producer a little bit more freedom to make decisions in terms of what they want to do with their grains. So that's what we mean by a retail advisor or a retail market advisor.
Okay. Retail, it's buy low, sell high. For farmers, it's just grow it and sell high.
I mean, our principles haven't changed. We're risk management, and our goal is to work with producers and hopefully trying to find a way to smooth out the volatility in these markets. We've had an absolute crazy year this year in the grains especially, and you know, even in the livestock. You've seen hog markets flying all over the place this year because of the African swine fever demand production. We've had a cattle market on basically a 9-week run until today, in terms of volatility. So there's opportunities out there. Getting to know or work with an advisor like myself just can at least put different tools in front of them besides a cash sale of how to protect value and still keep things open in front of a producer for the long haul.
Well, John, great lead into my next question. Before we talk about the grains, what the heck happened to cattle today, or was this coming?
Cattle market obviously has been on a great run since its September lows. Let's look at the factors that caused that run to occur. First off, we had that plant fire on the Kansas plant, which kind of tore the cash market apart, caused the market to really fall apart into those September lows. The funds or the speculative managed money went actually short on the cattle side, which is a very rare occurrence. They held that for about 3 weeks, and then they started lifting. So we've seen the money flow into the cattle market from the speculative side. Then on top of that, you just look at the cattle numbers and the cattle on feed reports that we've seen were under last year in terms of total cattle on feed. So that's been a big factor. The retail demand on the domestic front has continued to stay strong. We've seen the choice carcass values, select carcass values really shoot up in value since those September lows. So that's brought money into the market, at least in terms of some technical or some fundamental support there. And then cash trade has rallied very nicely. So you put those pieces together with the money moving market in from the outside, we get a $20 rally or basically nine consecutive weeks of higher closes, and here we are. Now today we're taking a little bit of air out of the market. We're seeing, you know, we're in a seasonal window where maybe the retail value could calm down. You know, as retailers are moving away from getting the, you know, Christmas beef ordered, the rib and things of that nature, and now start focusing towards, you know, merchandising the turkey for Thanksgiving, the beef market has a tendency to calm down here. Haven't seen it yet, but we'll see. So that usually brings us a bit of a seasonal window. And we look at that December contract, 8 straight weeks higher last week, put in its first negative week. So I'm not saying topping action, but you see a market cooling off. Typically, you know, 34 of the last 35 years, that December contract on the day that October expires, December finished that day around 117.20, in that 35-year window, 34 times and we've expired December below that October close. Doesn't mean we're going to fall apart. The average move's about 2%, but it just kind of tells you we can calm down here into the end of the year. Love the spring market, though. We'll see where we are in terms of production in the first quarter of the year. Got to watch these cattle on feed reports next few weeks. Do the placements come back? Do the cattle numbers stay fairly soft compared to last year? I do still have some upside targets, maybe poking into the 130s in February and April. But again, there's some great value out there for producers right now, and they need to be thinking about how can I protect value.
For sure, yeah. But there's a lot of good news for cattle producers. But isn't it amazing how historically the history repeats itself? These charts do kind of tend to tell the tale of the future.
You see those technical actions a lot too in the livestock markets. When you get the managed money positions moving in and out, that's what uses as a trigger. You know, so we'll have to watch this little turn that we got in the market today. You know, I mean, do we get some follow through? You know, like I said, $20 rally without much of a correction. There's quite a bit of air under here, so they could. But you know, markets sometimes need corrections to kind of gather that strength together to make that next push higher. And I think we got that possibility, like I said, as we move into the spring. We might pause for a while here. We'll just have to see how the fundamentals come together as we get closer to that first of the year.
Well, the calves have been weaned. Guys should breed those cows again, because could 2020 be a profitable year for cattle producers? What do you think?
We've got this one big outlying factor in the global meat space. And again, it comes back to that African swine fever. And we've been talking about it for a long time. But there's just a global demand for meat that continues to have a hole in it. Whether it's getting filled with poultry, it's getting filled with pork, it's getting filled with turkey, you know, it's getting filled from beef with other countries, which opens up more avenues maybe on the export front for U.S. beef. This year at this stage, we're currently a little bit behind last year on the export front, so the strength here has been the retail consumer in the United States. As the economy has done fairly well, people have more jobs, people have a little bit more spendable income, they buy beef. And that's one of the biggest things that's been driving this beef market, at least on that retail front. Next year, let's see how we do on the export side. We're forecasted to be up year over year on the export front, and that hole is still out there in the market that needs to be met somewhere, whether it's through U.S. beef, U.S. pork, U.S. poultry. We'll see how things shake out next year.
But the stock market, record highs here, is that a good barometer that the U.S. economy is good, people are going out to eat and going to the grocery store and buying not just hamburger?
There is some correlation between that stock market as well as the cattle markets, again, based on that consumer sentiment factor, exactly what you're saying. And supposedly there's a little more funds, a little more money, they're going to buy higher-priced products such as beef, and it does help that domestic demand.
Good. All right. To the grains. Where are we heading? I mean, is it all based on trade? Farmers have just had there's been a dark cloud hanging over agriculture 2019 with weather, production, harvest, and of course trade. So where are we going in the future in wheat, corn, beans?
Well, we got through the November reports. In a nutshell, corn got the adjustment on the bushels above, a little lower than expectations, which was friendly. The market was, maybe not even pricing that much. And I was actually concerned the yield number could go a little higher. But they continue to attack the demand side of the balance sheet. We lost another 100 million, 50 from exports, 25 from feed, 25 from ethanol. And that just keeps that supply pile heavy. And right now the bears in the market are focused more on that demand side with the perception that the bushels are there. So with that, at least now we're in a window, we probably just grind sideways to lower. I'm a little nervous that we got a chance that we could break back down and challenge those September lows on the technical front. I think it'll be a very quick, aggressive move, kind of like we saw at the end of May, when the market fell apart. But, we've got to be weary of what's out there. Now, everybody's going to be looking towards that January report. And I'm still in the camp, it's going to be still a mixed bag of information. Maybe we'll see some more adjustments again on the acreage, on the bushel side and the production side. But realistically, with the way this harvest is going, it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair. We're going to have to watch those grain stocks reports in June and September, and you know that's where we'll see the bushels maybe disappear in terms of lighter test weight corn from the north and those types of issues that'll see us grind through those bushels faster. So for a producer right now, you got to take a look at the cash market. The market wants your corn. Is there some value there? Maybe you're moving corn here or locking that basis in and then protecting the price that's here at this window. Or if you're moving it, the market's got low volatility, calls are cheap to keep some paper over top, but let's make sure you take care of that bottom line.
All right, John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Great information. Thank you for a lot of good insights here, and I know you've helped somebody. Somebody had a few aha moments here in the last few minutes we've been visiting. So how do guys get a hold of you?
Love to chat with them anytime, Mick. They can give me a call at 800-334-9779. Or we got our new website, which has got a lot of great information about who we are as a company. That's at totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, under the brokerage solutions area, you'll find my profile. Feel free to shoot me an email.
All righty. John Heinberg, thank you. Always great to see you, but always good to talk to you on the phone, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Mick. Have a great week.
I sure will.